Welcome, beautiful mamas, to another episode of the Happy Mama Movement. Today's episode is with one of my favourite authors. This woman, from the moment I connected with her a few years ago now, has always been so genuinely open, authentic, and giving. She is one of the most down-to-earth yet inspiring women I have had the pleasure in speaking to. And her name is Bronnie Ware. You might know her name, or definitely you would know the title of her best-selling book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. This book went gangbusters around the world at exactly the same time as she was giving birth to her first child. In fact, there's an amazing story of her being in labour and putting a prayer out to God to say, please, I need a publisher, I need some help with this book, because her inbox and her phone was constantly ringing and full with requests for media interviews because her work was starting to grow bigger than she could handle. And she was about to become a first-time mum in her 40s. And so as she turned her phone off and her computer off, as the labour contractions started to build, she put a prayer out to the world for some help. Just 24 hours later, when she turned her phone and her computer back on, there was the phone call and the message from Hay House offering her an international book deal. This is how down to earth she is. She has shared her story with millions around the world now. And her latest book, Bloom, is a continuation of her story, but to be totally honest, is my favourite of her books so far. Bloom is all about surrendering, finding the blessings in life. It's the journey of Bronnie as a mum and someone who is battling a very severe disease, arthritis in her body that is causing her over the last 5 years to be in crippling pain. But in typical Bronnie fashion, she found the blessings in it all. And I know you are going to find this interview so inspiring. Can't wait to share it with you. This is the Happy Mama Movement with your host, Amy Taylor Cabaz, author, mama to three, and editor of the Happy Mama magazine. In my mamahood journey, I have gone from an overachieving, addicted to busyness superwoman to finally slowing down, simplifying, and realizing that being a mama is the greatest self-development teacher in the world. And after more than 15 years covering breaking news, I've swapped current affairs to inspiration and now bring you the best I can find every week to help us feel more connected as women as we raise our families. Because when we come together, amazing things happen. So welcome to the movement. So, Bronnie, many of my readers and listeners might be aware of your work from the very hugely successful first book that you published, The Lessons from the Dying, where you really shared with the world what you had begun to understand about life through working in palliative care and the dying. And then after that book was published, or actually in the process of that book being published, you experienced the other end of life, which was you experienced becoming a mama and birthing a beautiful baby girl into this world. And so more than most of us, you've seen the extremes of the end of life and the beginning of life. And that's what I really wanted to talk to you about today and the lessons that you've found through all of that. So talk to me and my audience about the experience of becoming a mum, the part in your book, Bloom, of when you really energetically felt when your daughter entered you and you really started that life, actually brought me to tears. It was beautiful. It was such a beautiful description of that moment of really knowing, I think I've just become a mother. And we're not talking about the intimate moment. This was afterwards where you really felt that spirit and that soul enter you. So perhaps could you start by talking to us all about the experience of becoming a mum at the stage of life you were in?
Sure. Well, I was in my mid-40s, and I had I'd given up the idea of becoming a mum years earlier, but then it came back to me, and this very strong yearning. I kept having a dream of a baby girl saying, "Hurry up, I can't wait much longer." And then I met the man I was to conceive with, and I feel so grateful and blessed that I actually know the moment we conceived. And so we'd made love in the afternoon, and I was sitting around a campfire at a music festival with some friends, and it was out in the middle of the bush, and so mega stars out and just a beautiful setting, really cold night, so big fire roaring. And I was sitting there speaking with this friend of mine, and all of a sudden I just felt this rush of love through every single cell in my body. It was like, in a way, it was like an orgasm in every cell of my body, but really an orgasm is probably not even doing it justice. Mm. It was just this powerful, overpowering rush of love. I saw a bright flash of a star in my mind, and my body just went loose. I wish I could show you what I'm doing here as I'm telling you, but I just sort of felt this loosening and flopped into my chair, flopped back into my chair, and this, as this rush went through me, I just knew then I had conceived. I just thought, oh my gosh, my child has just arrived. The love that was, it was just such a love of divinity, and I just sat there, and this friend's still yakking away, and I'm, nowhere, with no presence at all in the conversation, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I've just become a mother. I'm a mother. I have a child inside of me, and I was 44 years old, and I was sitting there. I just wanted to scream in ecstasy, but at the same time, I wanted to savor that moment between me and my daughter, and just see it as it was, as the sacred moment. And so the conversation continued, and after that rush of love, like, it was only a matter of 5 seconds, the whole thing. But 5 seconds is quite a long time when you're just, every cell is bursting with light. And yeah, and so then I just sort of had this ridiculous grin on my face for the next couple of weeks, and went and had it confirmed, it was quite amazing. And to go from that, and the first doctor I saw said, "Well, you're 44 years old, are you sure about this?" And I was like, there's no question about this one coming through. So yeah, it was incredible, and I feel so blessed that I know that I had that experience, because it bonded me to my daughter Eleanor from that moment.
Mm. And what I love so much about your story is that there have been such moments of divine intervention, such moments of that deep connection with the universe, love, whatever you want to name it. And then also in your journey, such moments of darkness, I want to say, so many challenges that have come your way, including not long after your beautiful baby girl arrived in this world, you started noticing that your hands and your feet felt different, were tingling or aching. And gosh, it would be so easy to despair and to feel like, finally, at 44, I get my daughter and I'm on this journey, and I have an international book deal, and everything has lined up, all the stars are aligned, and surely things are going to be great now. But it wasn't in that sense, was it? Things started to really change not long, really, really not long after your beautiful girl was here.
Mm, well, for me, it's all one thing. The birth, the career success, and the disease, because they're all within the book, and the book success and the baby were within 24 hours of each other.
I know, that's such a beautiful story.
Yes, and then the disease was within a few weeks. It was triggered by the birth. So, I've never really known any of the three without the other two. So, it was absolutely horrific. And there were moments of despair, certainly. I was just, to the grief of of my old self, of the freedom of health and the independence and confidence that health gives you without you even realizing, was, you know, it was a huge process of letting go and surrendering to it. But at the same time, I knew that, I just knew in my heart that there were blessings in this. If I couldn't find the blessings, well, you know, what's the point? You've got to find the blessings. And so I did, and it's actually been one of the best things that's ever happened to me, to become ill and to live with physical limitations, because it's taught me how to go gently on myself, and it's taught me so many levels of kindness. So, yeah, it was a shock. It was certainly a shock initially, but, you know, 5 years into it, I can see it a lot differently, and I could along the way too. Yeah.
And that's the thing that Mama's is so profound in Bronnie's latest book, Bloom, is her surrendering to what is happening in every single moment. And I know all of us have our own challenges, whether it's challenges with our children or with our partners or within our own health and our own self. And to find that ability to surrender and connect with the blessings is truly profound. Bronnie, just to put it in context of how difficult this was, I was blown away by some of the physical challenges you had when your little girl was so little, to the point where walking felt like you were, you know, walking on glass, breaking your own bones by just putting your feet on the ground. You couldn't even stand on grass. It hurt so much. There's a very profound story in the book about having a time away in Melbourne for an event and running yourself a bath and lying in the bath and you know, feeling your body relax and have that beautiful moment that we all know that when we have space away from our children, it's this big, deep breath. And then you could not get yourself out of the bath, could you?
No, it was awful. It'll always feel painful to me, that memory, I think. It was awful, but, you know, again, you just got to find the blessings. But it took me about 40 minutes to get out, and I was very much alone. I couldn't do anything about it. And it was just crazy. Like, the next day I'm on stage talking to people and everything, and yet, you know, 12 hours earlier, I wasn't even
stuck in the bath. Exactly.
Yeah, I was stuck. I didn't have the strength in my hands, my wrists, my elbows, my knees, any of it, to get myself out. And I was, I ended up letting the water out after that had been unsuccessful, trying that way. And I was slipping, like, I just felt like I was, you know, an armless animal, but I was slipping on the bottom of the bath sideways and all over, and I couldn't even get myself flat, like laying flat or on my back or on my front. I had no control. I was just slipping around all over the place and too scared to even, you know, balance myself with my hands because there was so much fire living in them with pain. So, yeah, it was horrific. There's been a lot of massive challenges. But I was determined from the start, and my heart told me from the start that whatever the challenge is, it really is given to us from a place of love to bring us into our best self. And with my heart telling me that so clearly, that helped me to surrender and let go of the resistance to what was, and to let go of the need to control every step of the way, and to just to fully surrender and say, okay, well, you know, you've got the big picture knows what's going on here better than I do. I'm going to surrender into that because I know deep in my heart that this is actually a gift of love. And as crappy as it is and as horrific as a lot of it was, it really was a gift of love. And 5 years on, I'm so grateful for every single part of that journey.
I really want to bury down deep into that, because that is what I feel like is the message that you and I both want to share today, is that surrendering to understanding that this is a gift of love. There's a sentence in your book that I've underlined and highlighted that just blew me away when I read it. There had never been a challenge in my life that I didn't find a blessing in. Can you pinpoint where that started to happen in your life? Where have you always had that feeling of there's got to be a bigger blessing here? Or has that been a skill, an understanding that you've had to cultivate and learn and work on? Because for the mamas that are listening who are thinking, if I was in that bath and it took me 40 minutes to get out, I would not be thinking this is love. So how, for the mamas that are really like, I don't know how to see this as a blessing, where do we start, Bronnie?
Well, I think I just got bored of being the victim.
Oh, that is, I've got goosebumps from head to toe. What a great line.
I think that's what happened. Somewhere along in my young adult days, I came from a really rough relationship with my dad. I'd had a lot of cruelty thrown at me from the family. And then I was engaged at 19 with a mortgage, married at 20, divorced at like 23 or something. And I think it was around then that I just realised, okay, I can keep saying how hard it is. I married a guy who punched holes in walls and all this sort of stuff. And I, you know, there's a lot going wrong there too. But I think it was around that time that I just started birthing myself and coming into the young woman I was to be. And at some stage I just thought, okay, I can focus on this poor me stuff, and there is a lot of poor me stuff. I mean, I've written about it in two books, but instead of dwelling on the poor me stuff from a victim mentality, I was determined to say, okay, well, this poor me stuff is actually making me who I am, and I'm the strongest person I know as a result. So I think it's just that we need to have compassion for ourselves, and it's okay to feel sorry for ourselves at some stage and feel that. But then it's our choice how long we dwell in it. So that compassion and kindness is important to say, okay, well, you're doing it tough at the moment. Have some gentleness and have a cry and let it all out. But then after a while, it's like, okay, but, you know, life is a precious gift and it's passing us by and this is a whole new moment, and do we really want to spend it in dwelling about poor me stuff? Like, let's embrace it because the clock's ticking. So it's a combination of all that, I think, just that playing the victim on a long-term basis, it doesn't serve us. It robs, as well as repelling everyone else, it robs us of our gift of life. And so with that determination to find, you know, to not be the victim, I was able to turn around and find the blessings instead. And that's hugely empowering and freeing.
That's right. It's so empowering, because people often mistake surrendering as giving up or handing over or letting go in a non-empowering way. But this is actually the complete opposite, isn't it?
Oh, surrendering is far from giving up.
Yeah.
Surrendering takes more courage than action, definitely. Surrendering is actually saying, okay, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to surrender and trust that you, life, God, universe, that you know what is best for me, and I'm going to let you carry me along here because I really don't know what to do, and when it's time for me to do something, I'll trust you, let me know, and in the meantime, I'm just going to grab this lesson, you know, with all my heart and take from it what you're trying to give to me.
Consistently through your story, it's been a lesson in presence, in not looking too far ahead, in not trying to analyse it too much, in just constantly coming back to the now and this moment. And I think that's what we all are here to do over and over again, isn't it?
It's absolute freedom to have to bring yourself to that level of faith where you're okay. You've learned to surrender so much that whatever happens is fine, because you know that it's going to be for your, not only for your highest good, but I think we can forget as well that actually brings joy as well. So we can often think that the growth is, there's pain or suffering, but it's all for the best, it's all for our highest good. But what actually happens is the more we surrender and the more present we become in life, the more the other nonsense falls away and the more joy actually is given to us or comes through us. And we need to remember that this isn't just about becoming our best self. This is about allowing life to bless us with an immense amount of joy and blessings. And so the more present we can become, you know, the less we're worried about the future, the less we're dwelling in the past, and the more we actually see the bliss of the moment and the magic in just being.
Love that. Love that so much. There's one other thing that I wanted to bring up with you in this episode, which is very similar and tied to surrender, which is this ability to receive help from others. You know, you've obviously had to really rely on other people through the height of your disease and had to really learn to receive in certain times in your life. And you describe it, it stopped me in my tracks. I'd never thought of letting people help me or accepting help in this way. But you write, I had been in such a terribly low place that I'd had to accept food vouchers from charity networks to survive. It had been an enormous lesson in learning to receive. It was challenging to master, but how could I allow in any true goodness if I didn't? And when I read that, I thought, oh my goodness, yes, if I don't allow in help and charity even and support and other people in, how can I also allow in the great stuff, the abundance, that it's all receiving? There is no difference between receiving help and receiving abundance. There's no difference in help, you know, receiving help and receiving great love and passion and all of the things that we crave. That was such a great lesson for me. Thank you for writing that, because it was a little light bulb moment in my head when I read it.
Well, it's beautifully said what you have, Amy. That's the thing. We can't just say to life, okay, well, I really want you to make this dream come true here, but I don't want help from this person or that person because my ego will be bruised, or I don't know how to let that help in, but give me this bit that I want. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's all encompassing. If we're going to receive, we have to receive. And it allows other people the pleasure of giving. And as mamas, we know the pleasure of giving. But we can't do it without help. We cannot be great for our children if we don't broaden our networks and open our arms and actually allow other people to help us as we help them or as we help others. It doesn't have to be a direct reciprocation, but we have to learn to receive, and as mamas we can put so much pressure on ourselves to have it all right and everything else, but it doesn't work. It does not work. We need to allow some help and allow our friends to take our children for a few hours if we're really having a meltdown or about to kill our kids or, you know, just not being the mother that we expect ourselves to be, which is usually, you know, way so far unrealistic of what we need to be. We have to receive. We have to work together and support each other, but open to receiving on every level, not just, okay, life, make my work take off and give me international travel business class 10 times a year, but don't, you know, don't send me help if I'm having a meltdown and a crisis and anything else. It doesn't work that way. We have to dissolve our ego and just say, I'm not coping, I need help. Please, can you help me?
And it's just, again, that surrendering, but just that opening up to whatever the universe is sending us, trusting that it's all good in the long run. There is no pain here that we can't handle, and that it's all for a bigger blessing. It's just been so empowering to be reminded of all those lessons while I've been following your story for a while. We've spoken a few times and I've interviewed you before, but this book really cemented so much for me. So thank you for writing it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for connecting with it, Amy.
You're listening to the Happy Mama Movement. At the core of it, the Happy Mama Movement is all about one simple idea, that mamahood can be the greatest catalyst for change in a busy woman's life. So now for the big three questions. So, just shifting the focus slightly to motherhood in particular now. And I wanted to ask you these three questions that I ask everybody in this podcast, just to, I guess, flesh out the lessons from motherhood, which I know have been such deep blessings for you. But when you look now at, you know, your journey as a mama, what has motherhood taught you about yourself, do you think?
It's taught me how to laugh. More. Yeah, it's Yeah, it's given me immense freedom in not caring about what other people think. Not that I really, you know, I was pretty good at that before I became a mum. I'd had some lessons in that already, but yeah, it's just taught me how to just be a dag and not care and just be a mum. That's what I want to. That's, you know, I don't care about how many followers I have on social media. I don't care how I portray myself in the public. I just want to be real and have quality relationships with my followers, which I do. I'd rather quality over quantity. But really, I just want to be a mum. That's what I love more than anything, and it teaches me to laugh. Yeah.
And you've really cultivated a life now where you and your beautiful daughter can travel and see the world, but come back to Australia and live a very beautiful, simple, connected life. It's you've found a way, do you feel, to have all of that?
I do. I still have to lean on support when I'm at home, and I'm homeschooling her as well. So there's, you know, it's going to be a journey where we stay really connected. I definitely feel that. I feel incredibly. Some days I just stand there in my kitchen and I'm cooking my lunch while I'm on a work day or something like that, or Eleanor's playing on the floor while I'm doing something, and I just think, I can't believe this. I own this sweet little house. We can just shut the door, we travel, we go overseas, we, you know, come back, I do the job I love. And I mean, I've put in the work to do that, and the work is the inner work. I've done the outer work too, but I've made this happen, and I do have an amazing, you know, the fact that I can be present with my kid as much as possible it's fantastic. I have so many pinch me moments when I think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a 50-year-old woman with a 5-year-old daughter, and this is my life now. How fantastic.
Wow, but to hang on to that insight through everything is so inspiring. So I'm interested to hear your answer to this, because I feel like you came to motherhood with such a deep understanding of who you are and such deep insights that I wonder whether there's anything that you would tell yourself differently. But if you could go back and talk to yourself through that moment, before that moment in front of the fire, at that music festival, or even before that process, and tell yourself one thing about motherhood that's about to come before you, would there be anything you'd tell yourself?
I'd probably just say, just trust yourself more. You know, just trust that you'll know what to do, because I did have quite a bit of fear during pregnancy, just hoping I'd be a good mum and having those expectations. So I think, yeah, I would just say, you're going to be fine, you're going to be a beautiful mother, just trust in your own wisdom on a day-to-day basis.
That's it, on the more practical day-to-day. Yes, yes. And so then finally, what does being a happy mama mean to you?
it means having time for me as Bronnie, as well as time as mum. And because being a happy mama means time with my girlfriends as well, and time in my relationships. And yeah, being a happy mum means doing my best to honour all parts of my life, because that makes me a better mum on all levels.
Love that. That's exactly what it's all about.
Mm.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to speak to you again. And yes, the lessons in this book have really helped me, so thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Amy, and thank you for what you're doing, bringing your own wisdom to all the mamas, to all us mamas. You know, you've got a very important role yourself in this life, so thank you for connecting with me.
Thanks for listening to the Happy Mama Movement. To make sure you never miss an insight, please subscribe to this podcast. And also pop on over to see the latest issue of the Happy Mama magazine at www.happymama.com.au.